Psalm 29, verses 10 and 11 say this: The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I am the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. Hey, I hope you had a wonderful Christmas weekend. You know, at AFR, we've been off for the last couple of days playing Christmas music, but we are back live today, and I'm excited to be with you today as we want to talk about a smorgasbord of issues. Lots going on in the news, and wanted to start off with a giveaway. We've been doing this for Christmas and giving away some books, and so I have another giveaway I'd like to do. Grace, Hope, and Love, My Daily Devotional is a book I was involved in with some other pastors to produce this daily devotional. It's a very beautiful blue leather-bound book, and I'd like to give five of these away. If you just email book, B-O-O-K, at fromhisheart.org, that's book at fromhisheart.org, we'll have a drawing, and I'll send you an autographed copy of this. And I was involved with 1 week of devotions along with the other pastors, and this is a great way to start off the new year, is with a commitment to a quiet time. And this is a great little quiet time book, not to take the place of your Bible reading, but to supplement your Bible reading and bring a devotional thought to your mind to start off each day. It's just a great thing to do to get you focused. And there's a prayer in there to really take the word and pray it into your soul. And so encourage you to email us, and we'd love to send you a copy of that. Okay, so we had talked quite a bit on this program about Christmas being on Sunday. And some churches were saying, well, you know, we're just going to have a big Christmas Eve service and no service on Sunday, or just video us on Sunday and stay home with your family. And we talked quite a bit about that. I talked about that with my friend, Dr. Tom Askell, pastor in Cape Coral, Florida, and he didn't understand it. I didn't understand it. Well, we had Christmas Sunday morning at First Baptist Texarkana, and it was great. We really emphasized baptism, and we told the folks all through December, said, listen, if you need to give a testimony through baptism, there's no better time to do that than Christmas Sunday morning. And we had 17 people that followed the Lord in baptism Christmas Sunday morning. It was exciting. It was fun. It was a great celebration. We had great music. And I preached about the wise man, called that message the gift. You know, we talk about the wise men. We don't know how many wise men there were. We always say there were three because of the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the three gifts. And so we talked about how the wise men sought the Lord. And when they found him, they worshiped him. They fell down and worshiped him. And they're these highfalutin guys, these Persian kingmakers, the wise men of Babylon. That's their roots. Daniel was one of those guys way back when in the late 600s and early 500s BC. And so these guys were the top of the food chain, so to speak. And it's interesting, in the Christmas story, you have the announcement coming to the shepherds. The shepherds are the low rung on the food chain. They're the lowest of the low, and they get the good news that a Savior has been born for all men, good news of great joy, which should be for all the people. For unto you this day a Savior has been born for you. And it's very personal. It's for you, who is Christ the Lord. And so the announcement comes to the lowest of the low, and then the worship comes from the highest of the high, and everybody in between. The Savior has come for them, and we need to follow in the footsteps of the wise men and fall down and worship the Lord, worship the King. I love this meme that I saw on Twitter. I think I saw it on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. It said, many babies have come into the world and become king, but only one king has ever become a baby. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. the one who existed from eternity past, who put on flesh, the incarnation. We talk about the incarnation. What is that? That's God putting on flesh. God in flesh appearing, as we sing at Christmas time. And so we talked that Sunday morning. I preached on the wise men, and I preached about the gift. You know, you think about Christmas time, we always give gifts to people, and we think, and we ponder, and we shop, and we look, and who would like this, and who would like that, and what am I getting for my spouse, and what am I getting for my kids, and what am I getting for my parents, and for my friends, and for my pastor. Everybody ought to give a gift to his pastor. Just teasing, but it's nice. Anyway, and so we think about that, agonize over that, but sometimes we fail to realize, well, Christmas is all about the birth of the King. And so what am I going to get Jesus for Christmas? And I kind of focused on that on Christmas Sunday morning. And I said, you know, there is one thing that you can give the Lord that he may not have. Now, the Lord is king over the universe. And Psalm 50, verse 12, the Lord says, "For the world is mine and all it contains." Haggai, chapter 2, verse 8, the Lord says, "The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts." So if everything belongs to the Lord, how can I give him a gift? And the wise men brought gifts, gold, silver, or gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Those were expensive gifts, and no doubt God used those to help fund Mary and Joseph, who were very poor, and as they made their trip to Egypt and did the things that they needed to do, that provided the funding for that. But does the Lord need our money? No. Does the Lord need our incense? Frankincense is incense. No, he doesn't need any of the things that we can provide for him. But there's one thing that you have, that I have, that we have, that the Lord may not have, and that is your heart, my heart. Proverbs 23, verse 26, "My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes delight in my ways." God wants that from you and me, our heart, our love, our worship, our devotion. And when we give that to him, we give him what he really wants. All the other things don't matter. You know, you hear people sometimes, they say, "Oh, you know, I go to church and they talk about money, money, money. That's all that God wants is money." Well, God doesn't care about that. He cares about your heart. And here's the thing, when the Lord has your heart, he has everything. Because that is the real treasure, your heart. When I fell in love with my wife, Debbie, we went out May 10th, 1985. That was our first official date. And I fell for her pretty quickly. And, you know, once she had my heart, there wasn't anything that I wouldn't give her, because I had already given her the most valuable thing, which was my heart. And so that meant she had access to all my resources, all my funds. Anything that I had was hers because she had my heart. And when the Lord has your heart, he has everything. And that's what he wants. And that's what we can give him. And so we talked about that at Christmas time, on Christmas Sunday morning. And hey, that's a good question to ask yourself. Does the Lord have my heart? Have I given him my heart? And see, the Christian life begins by giving your heart to Jesus, and it continues by every day re-upping. It doesn't mean you get saved over and over and over again. You just get saved once. But you renew that commitment every day. "I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." And so every day we get down on our knees and we say, "Lord, here I am. I'm yours. I belong to you. I've been bought with a price. I want to serve you this day. I want my life to please you this day. I want you to be glorified in me. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation continually say, 'The Lord be magnified.'" Colossians 2:6 says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord through repentance and faith," that's how we received him, "so walk in him." We receive him by grace through faith, and we walk in him by grace through faith. And that's how you live the Christian life. You walk in the light as he himself is in the light. You deal with the sin in your heart, and you ask God to just continue to work in you, to make you more and more and more what he wants you to be, perfecting holiness, as the scripture says, in the fear of the Lord. And so the Lord tells us, you shall be holy for I am holy. And that's a walk with God. It's a sanctifying process, and it doesn't come all at once. Salvation comes in three parts. The first part is justification. Just as if I've never sinned, I'm declared righteous by the Lord, and the Holy Spirit of God comes into my heart. Sanctification. Sanctification is a long process where the Lord chips away and works on us, and to make us more like himself, to, as the Bible says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Work out what God has worked in. That's the sanctifying process. Sanctify Christ, Peter says, as Lord in your hearts. Set him apart as Lord. And then the last part of salvation is the future part. That's glorification. See, justification works on your spirit. That makes you right spiritually with God. A sanctification works on your soul, your mind, will, and emotions to make you more and more like Jesus. And glorification works on your body. And that's when we're given a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God saves us, he saves us spirit and soul and body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, I pray that your spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord, blameless and complete. And so that's what we have to give to the Lord. And what a privilege we have every day to re-up, so to speak, to say, Lord, I belong to you. I'm yours. Whatever is going on in life, I know that you're over it all. Just as we started this program, Psalm 29, verse 10, the Lord sat as king at the flood. The Lord sits as king forever. And as we look at what's going on in the world, and as we keep up with the news, and AFR Talk is a great, great station to keep you abreast of what's going on in the world. But listen, we don't run around as believers in Jesus. We don't have to run around with headline hysteria saying, oh no, look what the world's coming to. We can say, as Adrian Rogers used to say, we can look up and be watchful and say, praise the Lord, it's getting gloriously dark. And the Lord will give strength to his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. And as things become more and more uncertain in our world and in our nation, and just the lunacy that is off the chain in our government, you know, the ominous omnibus bill that was passed, $1.7 trillion that Congress passed in spending. The New York Post said that Congress 11th hour, $1.7 trillion omnibus spending bill, an insane way to run the country. That bill was 4,155 pages of legislation. Nobody had the opportunity to read that, the time to read that. You talk about a boring read, that would be a boring read. But it's crazy how many of them voted for that. And $1.7 trillion. If we continue to spend money like that, I mean, it doesn't take an economic whiz bang to know if you just keep spending money you don't have, eventually the bills come due. Eventually you can't keep doing that. Eventually the credit card company says, no mas, you can't do that anymore. We're not going to fund this anymore. And so, you know, a nation is just a bunch of people collected. And so if you do that in your family, spend money you don't have, eventually it all falls apart. And so it is going to happen to our country as we keep doing this. But the good news, we don't worry, we don't fret. We know that the Lord is on his throne. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking about issues, we're talking about the things of the day, and when we come back, we're going to open the phone lines for your calls, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, and there are more things in the news that I want to talk about, but we're going to take a quick break. Don't go away, we'll be right back.
AFA Foundation Director Riley Wildman.
A charitable gift annuity is perfect for AFA supporters with an eternal perspective like Lucy Overstreet.
Psalm 78 tells us that we are to tell our children and our grandchildren and the future generations after them what the Lord has done in our lives and what the Word of God says.
Lucy's charitable gift annuity will keep supporting this ministry for generations.
I wanted something that would have eternal value, and that's the way I think of the American Family Association investment.
Contact Riley Wildman and her staff at the AFA Foundation and find out if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit our website, afafoundation.net.
My life is not about me, it's about him.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shree with From His Heart Ministries.
How many people come to church and they're chained to a bitter spirit and all sorts of problems, chained to greed and selfishness? Even when they want to break free, they can't seem to break free. Worship Him and praise Him and let Him remove the chains.
Learn to break the chains forever through Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Teens today are experts in the art of mass communication, but they tend to come up short on truly connecting. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. From Facebook and Twitter to Instagram and Snapchat, today's generation has every tool imaginable at their fingertips for communicating with peers. They can barely go 5 minutes without telling the whole world about what they're eating or where they're going with their friends. But you and I both know that this form of one-way communication falls painfully short of meaningful conversation. So mom, dad, turn off the cell phone and teach your teen the dying art of connecting face-to-face. No amount of likes or followers can replace the joy of true relationship.
Looking for more parenting wisdom? Go online to parentingtodaysteens.org or search for Parenting Today's Teens in your favorite app store.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We've been talking about Psalm 29, verse 10. The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. It's important for Christians to know what's going on in the world. It's important for us to be praying, and you have to be aware so that you can pray effectively and so that you can pray specifically about issues. But it is not good for a Christian to be worried and bothered about what's going on in the world. We have one job as believers, and that is to be the Lord's witnesses. As Jesus said, it's not for you to know times and epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And so we need to remind ourselves when things start to get really scary, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, and remind ourselves, what am I here for? Am I here to be healthy and wealthy and happy? No, and those aren't bad things. Obviously, those are good things, but that's not the purpose of our being here. We're sent here by the Lord, so to speak, as believers. You know, He saves us out of this world and sends us back to this world to be a witness in this world, and that's our only real business in the world. And so we're witnessing to people. We shine for Christ. That's to let your light so shine that people can look at your life and recognize, hey, there's something different about this person. There's something, there's the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Jesus is on this person. They may hate you for your stand on things, but they will respect you for your stand on things. And our job is to shine the light and to shine the light in the darkness. And Jesus said, hey, men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. For everyone who practices evil doesn't come to the light. And so when we shine the light on the evil gets upset about it. They want to put out the light. And Jesus said in John 15, hey, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. But here's the good news. There are people, I think about my own life. There are people like me that when they hear the good news, they will respond to the good news. And they will put their faith and trust in Jesus. We don't know who those people are per se, but the Lord does. And so the Lord says, hey, as long as you're on this earth, you keep witnessing for me. And just know that in the last times, 2 Timothy 3:1, in the last days, difficult times will come. That is promised. And so when things get difficult, we don't need to be afraid. We need to just trust the Lord, fix our eyes on Jesus. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So as we look at things going on in the news, Health and Human Services Assistant Secretary Rachel Levine, used to be Richard Levine. He's a guy, it's amazing that he's Health and Human Services Assistant Secretary. He needs psychiatric help. He's a man who thinks he's a woman, and everybody goes along with it. Like, yeah, that's normal. That's not normal. Well, he's been in the news because he called on big tech companies to censor what he called misinformation about gender-affirming care for kids. And he said this, the positive value of gender-affirming care for youth and adults is not in scientific or medical dispute. What a lie that is. Science tells us, very basic science, Bill Nye the Science Guy back in, the, I think it's in the 90s, he had a program for kids where he said, he talked about chromosomes. And he said, you're either XY male or XX female, and there are only two that you can be, male or female, and it's connected to chromosomes, and your chromosomal makeup is your gender, is your sex, and that can't be changed. That is fixed by God, and it comes to us at conception. And so this idea that we can do, and I'm just amazed how they call it, you know, gender-affirming care. Oh, what is that? That's giving kids who are troubled, who are buying into this lie that they're hearing propagated all over the media and all on television and that kind of thing, that, hey, you know, I can choose my gender and maybe I'm gender fluid or maybe I'm non-binary or all these things that make no sense at all. And so they buy into that and then they go to the doctor and the doctor says, yeah, we can give you some drugs for that. To help you with that. We can chemically castrate you. We can perform surgery on you. And we're doing this all under the guise of gender-affirming care. Gender-affirming care is similar to what the Nazis did to the Jews in their concentration camps as they performed all kinds of sick and twisted tests and lab experiments on them. It's awful. You are destroying a kid's life before they ever get out of the starting blocks. And to say that is it is without scientific or medical dispute is just a lie. I mean, it's such a lie. And evil men and imposters, 2 Timothy 3, evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So you have both things taking place here in our world. Obviously, the devil is pouring out his deception. And God has turned men over to the deceiver because they didn't want to acknowledge God anymore. First Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. So what does it say? Three different times. God gave them over. God gave them over. God gave them over. He gives them over to sexual immorality. He gives them over to homosexuality. And then he gives them over to a reprobate mind, a mind that no longer functions. And so these people can stand up in a hearing, in a Senate hearing, they're seated, but they let their voices be heard, and they can say with a straight face that men can get pregnant, and they try and defend that. Now, that is so ridiculous. I mean, you go back even 30 years ago, if somebody came before Congress and tried to make the case that men can get pregnant, they would be laughed out of the room. I mean, everybody would have said, well, that person is an idiot. I mean, they're a taco short of a combination plate. I mean, there's no way that anyone would have believed that back 30 years ago. But now everybody is jumping on the deceived train that heads to hell. And the thief comes only, Jesus said, to steal and kill and destroy. And if we can give the devil his props, we would say, well, he's doing a good job deceiving and stealing and killing and destroying. And he's coming after the kids, and you have this troubled individual who has risen to the place of Health and Human Services Assistant Secretary, who is advocating for the destruction of kids under the name gender-affirming care. You know, we call abortion. What is abortion? It is the brutal dismembering of a human being in the womb. It's awful, but we call it reproductive health care, reproductive rights. That sounds a lot better than the murder of the unborn. But that's what it is, and that's what it is in the sight of God. Hey, we need to stand up. We need to be counted. And I had an interview just last week with Kirk Cameron, and we're going to be airing that just in a few days. And Kirk is saying, "Hey, we don't need to shy away from our convictions, and we don't need to be worried and bothered and afraid. We need to stand up and be counted and be the witnesses God wants us to be, and to have a positive attitude. Our God is on His throne." And if he sat as king at the flood and sits as king forever, then our king is in charge. A sparrow doesn't fall to the ground unless the Lord allows it. And so we just trust him and we stand in the gap. That's going to be at First Baptist Texarkana. That's our theme for the year. We always like to do themes. And Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, such a great verse. It's a sad verse in a way, but it's a verse that gives us hope. At the same time, the Lord says, "And I searched for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one." Now that was in Ezekiel's day. God found no one. And so God is looking today. He's searching for a man, a woman, a boy or girl who would build up the wall and stand in the gap through prayer, stand in the gap through being a faithful witness, stand up and speak the truth in love for the land. And that's why we need to know what's going on in our world and what's going on in our nation so we can pray specifically for the land that he should not destroy it. You know, Colossians chapter 3 says that the immorality and the sin and the greed and all the things that are contrary to God's spirit, it's on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And so the wrath of God is going to come. Now, we are the ones who stand in the gap for the land. And as we pray, and as we shine and as we share, God uses us so that men, women, boys, and girls will respond to the light. Those who have a heart that is turned toward the Lord, they're going to respond to the light. And the Holy Spirit will use us. And that's our business in the world, to to be salt and light and to point the way to Jesus and leave the results with Him. You know, early in my ministry, you'd preach a sermon and you'd share the gospel and give the invitation. And if nobody came, you know, you could get discouraged. Well, Lord, I must not have done a good job. Nobody came. But the longer I've been in ministry, the more I see it's my job to deliver the mail. It's my job to pray over that and pray that God would use that and pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to hearts. But saving people, that's the Lord's job. I can't save anybody. And I can't talk somebody. If I can talk them into it, then somebody else can talk them out of it. It's the Lord that has to draw and the Lord that has to convict and the Lord that has to bring men to Himself. And I want to be used in that manner, but I'm not going to allow my day to be wrecked or ruined if we don't have anybody come forward. I just want to be faithful. I always think of Noah. He was faithful. Faithful, and he preached for 100 years as he was building the ark, and nobody came. Nobody came, but he was still faithful to God. Now, he could have said, God, you picked the wrong guy. I'm horrible. I'm no good at this. I mean, here I am 100 years, and I have no converts except my wife and my three boys and their wives, and that's it. It's just, there's just eight of us that trust you. But I don't think Noah looked at it like that. He just said, God, I'm going to do what you call me to do. I want to be faithful to you. It is required of stewards, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. It is required of stewards, and that's what we all are. We don't own anything. We're just the managers of God's things, that a man be found faithful. What does Jesus say at the end? What are we all living for as believers in Jesus? To hear the Lord say to us, well done, my good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you as we talk about things that are going on in our world and as we talk about the fact that we don't need to be worried and bothered. We just need to trust the Lord. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, and we need to walk with Him and develop a love relationship with Him, and as 1 John says, to walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, so that we can have fellowship with God, because God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. So if we're going to walk in darkness, we're not going to have fellowship with God, because He's not in the darkness. So that we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light and have fellowship with Him, with one another, us with God, and knowing that the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hey, the best of Christians still struggles with sin. The Apostle Paul was arguably the greatest Christian who ever lived. He still struggled with sin. You read Romans 6 and Romans 7. And Romans 8. Romans 7 is the struggle with the flesh. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? The good that I want to do, I don't do. And the evil that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And Paul was talking about that battle inside that he speaks about again in Galatians chapter 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. And the victory is in Romans 8, when we walk by the power of the Spirit. Well, we have Bill on the line from Georgia. Bill, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks. I'm up here in Tennessee and caught your show on this morning, so it's great to hear you guys out there preaching, teaching, encouraging people.
Amen. So what's going on today?
Here's what I want to share with you real quick. I run an evangelism ministry. It's called Sportsman Outreach, and we do evangelism at big sporting events like the Super Bowl, Final Four, things like that.
Uh-huh.
And so I want to share a message of hope here, kind of what you're talking about with what the culture does and being light to the world and so forth. So I'm going to give a specific illustration. The biggest event we do is the Super Bowl outreach, and we get about 100 guys to go to the host city and evangelize to the fans out and about in the streets and stuff during Super Bowl weekend. And so Los Angeles, the game was in Los Angeles last year. And, you know, out there in California, what I call all the social media air wars painted a picture of Governor Newsom and all the things going on out there, and it was very, very discouraging. We were prepared not even to go.
Bill, we're coming up on a break. Please hold on the line, Bill, and when we come back from the break, I want you to finish that story. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. The phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, and we will come back and hear from you, so don't go away.
The AFA Resource Center has all your favorite items. Everything from books, movies, shirts, and even hats. Introducing AFA's polyester and twill hats, starting at just $18. Whether you're into fashion, a collector, or you're just having a bad hair day, these hats are just what you need. You can buy one for yourself or a friend. Purchase your AFA hat today at resources.afa.net.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
A teenage jihadist comes to Christ. Hey, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and I met young Ahmed when I visited the Middle East. His father died fighting for ISIS, his mother was an extremist, and young Ahmed was going to be a suicide bomber by killing himself and others being sold out to violent Islam. Now, his mother and siblings, they came to Christ, they prayed nonstop for his salvation, and when it came, he was beaten nearly to death by extremists. And when I caught up with him several villages over, I asked, Ahmed, what's your Bible mean to you? And he said, I can look here and see where Jesus says they'll hate you because they hated me, and where Jesus says, I'm with you always. Now listen, having a Bible, it meant everything to him and gave him perspective, and his prayer was for believers there who need God's word to endure and persevere. And I said, Ahmed, those Bibles, they're coming. $5 sends a Bible, $50 sends 10, $500 sends 100. Please, in this season of giving, bless the persecuted church by calling 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD, or give it sendbiblesnow.org. sendbiblesnow.org. And God bless you for caring.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we want to continue to make that difference. God's called us to it, and we have set our face as a flint, like the prophets in the Old Testament, to stay true to God and His Word. So I want to encourage you to support the work here at American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. The phone lines are open as we're talking about issues going on in our world and in America, and the fact that the Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. And right before the break, we were talking to Bill from Tennessee. And so, Bill, please continue in your story about witnessing at the Super Bowl.
Right, just it's almost done here. So anyway, we had a lot of resistance as we read all the media and the social media stuff that was coming out, but we all went nevertheless. I think there was 90 of us there for 3.5 days evangelizing in from Santa Monica Pier to Hollywood Boulevard to Venice Beach to the stadium. And my point here is the people on the ground, it was normal, just as normal is in Tennessee. And witnessing to them and telling them about Jesus was just normal. And so what I want to say, what I'm saying here is don't get distracted by all the social media, the media air wars, people on the ground, they're hearing this stuff, but that doesn't mean that they're necessarily hardened to the gospel, and we have to go out and take the gospel to them. And so I just want to encourage people to not be overcome by the media, but to go out and knock on some doors and witness to their friends and all those kind of things, pray with their neighbor, this stuff that Lord Jesus commanded us to do. And I think we'll see we can potentially see, as you know, Pastor Shreve, a massive turnaround in the country. But we definitely need to go out there and tell them about the Lord. That's it.
Amen. Amen. That's a great word, Bill. God bless you and God bless your ministry. What Bill said is exactly right. And so you can get jaded because you listen to the media and think, well, all the people are for these awful policies. They're not. And that stuff's being crammed down our throat. And there are a lot of regular folks, your neighbors, your friends, people you rub shoulders with, people you go to work with, people you go to school with, that will hear and listen as we shine and share. And God has He has folks out there that He's working on. He wants to use you and me to bring them to faith in Christ. So thank you, my brother. God bless your ministry. Well, we have Brittany from Oklahoma on the line. Brittany, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am struggling with a really big battle right now. This morning, I got in my car and turned my radio on. And you were on my radio. I grew up a believer. I was raised Pentecostal. I used to speak in tongues when I was 3 years old. Like, I've had the Holy Spirit in me multiple times. And last year, my husband stopped working, and we became homeless. We lost our children. We have 4 babies. Mm. And after that, he wouldn't go back to work. So I ended up leaving him, and I couldn't find a job. The CPS gave me a timeline, so I ended up becoming a stripper. And that's what I battle with. I hate my job. Mm-hmm. I hate it every day. It makes me sick to my stomach to go to work. But at this point, I don't know what to do. I can't pay my bills because I don't want to go to work. I mean, these men are doing things that I can't even speak about in the club. And I don't know what to do at this point. I pray to God and I ask Him for help. I ask Him for answers. I ask Him to show me what to do. And I'm 2 months away from getting my baby's home, and I'm about to lose my home right now because I can't pay my bills. So I'm battling, I'm battling with trying to do the right thing, but I don't know what to do because I can't afford to do it.
Mm-hmm. My heart just breaks for you, Brittany. I'm so sorry, and I want to help you, and we want to help you. And so do me a favor, if you would. Email me, jeff@fromhisheart.org, and send me your contact information so we can contact you and talk to you more in depth about what's going on and how we can help you. What city do you live in?
Norman,
Oklahoma. Okay. All right. Can you do that for me and send me an email with your contact information so I can call you?
Yes. What was it?
It's Jeff, J-E-F-F, at fromhisheart.org.
Okay. All right. I've got it.
Okay, well, I'll be waiting to hear from you, and we'll be praying for you. The family of believers at American Family Radio, all the listeners around the country, well, they'll be lifting you up. And listen, Brittany, the Lord loves you, and He has a plan for you. Obviously, it's not what you're doing now. He wants to get you out of there, and you've seen how horrible that is. And He is a providing God. He is a good God. He loves us. He cares about us. He's in charge of all things. He is good. And so we have to flood our minds with the truth, because the lies are wanting to just overwhelm. And so we want to help you, and I will be calling you as soon as I get your email. So just know that, and we're here to help you. All right. So I'll look forward to hearing from you, Brittany, and then I'll call you back when I get your contact information. Well, listeners, please pray for Brittany, and pray that God would use her reaching out as a starting point for new things, brand new things coming into our life, and provision and blessing. And God is the God who responds to us. He is El Roi, Genesis 16, the God who sees us and the God who cares about us and the God who provides for us as we look to Him. Well, we have Cindy on the line from Texas. Cindy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much. I'm really moved by Brittany's story. I'm definitely going to pray for her. And just like you said, she doesn't know it yet, but God is so faithful. Mm-hmm. And like you said, this is probably one step, the first step of her turning, and God is going to be so overwhelmingly faithful. I don't know what it'll be, but I know He's got the answer for her. So, yeah, Brittany, I will definitely be praying for you. Bless your heart. But it goes along with the reason I called is, like you said, the world is just getting darker, and even for believers, it's sometimes hard to remember God's faithfulness and sometimes get caught up. And my son posted something over Christmas about the prophecies that were fulfilled at Jesus' coming. And that's always so encouraging to read prophecy that then really happened. I mean, all prophecy in Scripture either is going to happen or has already happened. And I started thinking about all the others that just give me such renewed faith and encouragement. And one passage is Ezekiel 36, 37, and 38, you know, because that's more contemporary to our own lifetime. For so long, the Holy Land area was just desolate. I know Mark Twain went over there in the 1800s at some point and walked through and took pictures and said, this place is just cursed. Not even the lizards want to live over here. He had not seen one other person while he was there. And yet, God's word in Ezekiel 36 said, God's going to restore that land. And so, sure enough, He started bringing the rains and restoring the land itself, getting it prepared for the people. And then chapter 37, of course, is when He begins bringing His people. It's that prophecy of the dry bones. And, you know, after World War II, especially the dry bones of the Jewish people who were in concentration camps, He brought them back together. And now Israel is unbelievably productive as far as their produce and their land, their exports. They're completely self-sufficient, and people are moving there and coming back to the land by the droves, even still. So to me, those two chapters are just breathtaking fulfillment of prophecy that, you know, a little over 100 years ago, nobody could see how that was going to happen. Of course, then there's Ezekiel 38, and we see the alignment of the countries that are one day going to invade Israel. Mm-hmm. And so it's like we're sitting on the edge of our seat watching this happen. To me, that's encouraging, is to see all the prophecies being fulfilled.
Amen. That's a great word, Cindy. You're exactly right. And so Ezekiel 37 is such a great verse about the power of the word of God. And, you know, Ezekiel was commanded to preach and prophesy over these bones and say to them, "Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." And so, yeah, Ezekiel 38 and 39, those are difficult chapters. We know that that is coming. Most Bible scholars have a difficult time knowing when that is coming. Is that coming before the rapture, after the rapture? Is there a gap between the rapture and the tribulation? And so that can be a difficult a place to pinpoint. But a good word for sure, Cindy. I appreciate you sharing that. And our God is in charge. And so we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And we speak the truth in love, and we stand up and with boldness, with love, with confidence. And we know that as we, you know, from a preacher standpoint, Ezekiel 37, hey, prophesy, preach the word, and the dry bones, when they hear and they respond to the word of God, God gives life. And anybody who responds to Him can be saved. And so that is the great news of the gospel. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So, Cindy, God bless you, and thank you for praying for Brittany. And we hope to hear from her so we can get her some help. So God bless you. Well, we have Tim from Ohio on the line. Tim, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Just a couple things. One, I had a friend of mine, a woman I had known for better than 35 years. She had one sibling, one brother, and he died. And after the funeral, she came to me. She said, Tim, she said, I'm 57 years old. I've never had a dream about my brother in my life until the night that he dies. He comes to me in a dream, and he tells me that where he is wonderful.
Hmm. That's very comforting. Go ahead.
And the second one was happened about 5 years ago. I do construction work, and I was doing a clean out in the house. And there was a garage there. The gentleman had died in the house about a week before that, and he had been working out of that garage since 1965, so about 50-some years. We were standing, the guy that I was helping and another guy were standing in the back of this of an 89 Dodge pickup truck, automatic, sitting on flat ground. We were standing there talking, and that truck started up and started running. And that's just another thing I wanted to tell you, that happened. And, you know, that's about 5 years ago. Do I understand any of that? No, I don't. But there was no remote on this truck. This was an old truck.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, it's hard to know about that stuff. You know, God no doubt speaks to us in dreams. The scripture says that he does that. He did that to Joseph in the book of Matthew, and the angel of the Lord came to him in a dream. I think those things are typically very rare when they happen. And so there was an old song, Tim, that said, it was from a group called Farrell and Farrell, you got to find it in the Word. And so everything that happens, we have to find it in the Word and say, that's where we stand, because our stand is in the Word. Those other things they can be encouraging, they can be, fun to hear and wow, but it's kind of fuzzy, because it has to have grounding in the Word to really stand on. But I appreciate you sharing that, and I appreciate you calling in today. God bless you, my brother, and may the Lord use you. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today, and we had mentioned about the book giveaway. The book is called Grace, Hope, and Love, My Daily Devotional. It is a 52-week devotional to just encourage you and help you in the new year. I'd love to give you a copy of this. We're going to give away 5 autographed copies of this. I was involved with 50 other pastors putting this together, and I have 1 week in here. And so I'd love to send you a copy just to get involved in the drawing. Email to book, B-O-O-K, at fromhisheart.org. That's book, B-O-O-K, at fromhisheart.org, and we'll have the drawing. And if you are the name selected, we will send you one with my compliments, and I hope it's a blessing to you. Well, thank you. We're coming toward the end. Thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today, and it is a privilege and a blessing for me to be able to get behind the microphone every day and to hopefully encourage you in the Lord. You know, as I do this, I encourage myself in the Lord, and sometimes we can make the Christian life a lot more complicated than it is, because it really is a love relationship with Jesus. We love because he first loved us. And as we understand, what does God want from me but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with my God? He wants me to love him. And my son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways, Proverbs 23:26. Have you given the Lord your heart, and are you walking with him, walking in the light, dealing with sin? Listen, we all struggle with sin. We struggle with different things, with worry, with jealousy, with bitterness, with lust, with greed, all sorts of different things that we can struggle with. But the Lord is the source of victory, and he is the answer. The battle is the Lord's, and his people, as we gather with his people, as we share with his people, as we encourage one another in the Lord, we're able to walk in the light and walk in victory. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and he will use you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.